السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رب زدني علما، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So alhamdulillah, continuing on with our series of the Sahaba. Today inshallah we'll talk about a great Sahabi. A great Sahabi by the name of Amir ibn Abdullah. And he was such a great Sahabi that he's considered one of the Ashara Mubashara. And As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun. Al-Fihri from the tribe of Al-Harith ibn Fihr. Qurashi from Quraysh lineage. But we usually know him by his kunya, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. But his real name is Amir ibn Abdullah. So Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu anhu, he was one of the earliest Muslims. How early? It mentioned that Hazrat Abu Bakr, the day after he declared his shahada, then he was propagating the deen. Subhanallah. He took the same fikr of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now he invited to his friend circle and his sphere. And Abu Ubaidah was one of those. He, along with Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman ibn Mad'un, and others, they were invited to Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who subsequently took him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he accepted Islam. So you're talking about way back, the first few days of Islam. So he was one of the initial 10 that accepted Islam. So you can see that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he lived through all the harshness, all the difficult times from the beginning to the end. He witnessed all of the terrible acts that the Quraysh did, all of their jahiliyyah habits, and he witnessed the pain, the grief, the suffering of the Muslims. And each step of the way, he was loyal to the deen, and he was loyal to Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as the description, it mentions, كان وديه الوجه بهي الطلعة نحيل الجسم طويل القامة خفيف العارض. Meaning that his face was brilliantly charismatic. He was tall, slim, and graceful. When you would see him, you would feel pleasant. You would feel your heart at ease. You would feel tranquility when you would meet him. But when the times became tough and the situation became critical, then he would be more bolder than, they say, a lion that's riled up. Very soft and gentle, unassuming. But the moment that the time becomes critical, he will stand up for the sake of Allah and his messenger. He was described once by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma with the following characterization. ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ أَصْبَحُ النَّاسِ وُجُوهًا وَأَحْسَنُهَا أَخْلَاقًا وَأَثْبَتُهَا حَيَاءً إِنْ حَدَّثُوكَ لَمْ يَكْذِبُوكَ وَإِنْ حَدَّثْتَهُمْ لَمْ يُكَذِّبُوكَ. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Uthman ibn Affan, wa Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. He said that there are three men from the Quraysh with the clearest faces, the best manners, and the most solid sense of decency, the most haya. If they address you, they never lie. And if you address them, they will not disbelieve you. Who are they? As-Siddiq Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi gave him the title Amin al-Ummah, Amin, like the exemplary trustworthy person of the Ummah. for his unselfish conduct that inspired confidence and trust in him. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٌ وَأَمِينُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةٍ. Every ummah has an exemplary, trustworthy member. And the trustworthy and the Ameen of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah. And he was also given the glad tidings of being Ashara Mubashara, one of the 10 that were promised paradise. So he had so many great qualities. What would make him Ameen? The most trustworthy. The Sahaba all were Ameen. They were all very trustworthy. But he had very specific qualities and very specific trials that he underwent. As far as some of his qualities, Muhammad ibn Ja'far narrates, one time a delegation of Christians came to Rasulullah ﷺ, telling him that they had certain disputes among themselves over financial matters. So this group, they had some ikhtilaf regarding their finances. So they asked Rasulullah ﷺ to choose one of his companions with whom he is pleased with, to go with them and arbitrate between them. So they realized that the Muslims had a great reputation, amazing, that they wanted a Muslim to come and arbitrate over their financial affairs. That's how the Muslims were respected. Rasulullah ﷺ told them, return to me in the evening, and I will send you with one who is strong and trustworthy, al-qawi al-amin. This is how we describe the person. Come back in the evening, and I will send you somebody. So now, this part of the story is continued in the words of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. He says, so I went to Zuhr early that day. And look at the hirs of the Sahaba. I never wished to be given command as much as on that day, for I wished to be considered the one who is al-Qawi and al-Amin. This is the attitude of the Sahaba. One specific description was given, and now it's like, how can I be like that? How can I be the first? That person. Right now, you're not looking around. Who is going to be that person? You're thinking, I'm going to be that person. This is the attitude of the Sahaba. So when Rasulullah ﷺ had finished leading the prayer, he began to look around. Now, what does Hadha Umar do? He starts standing up. He starts looking around, becoming so he can be easily spotted. However, Rasulullah ﷺ looked at him and continued glancing around, until his face fell on Abu Ubaidah, to whom he called, saying, go with them and settle matters between them righteously. Hazrat Umar sighed. He said, Abu Ubaidah had taken that. Right? This is the hirs that they had. So Rasulullah gave this title of Amin al-Ummah because of the great sacrifices that he had done for the deen. But perhaps the greatest test, the extreme ultimate test that Allah Ta'ala placed on Abu Ubaidah was at Badr. And Badr was, as we know, the greatest battle in the history of Islam. And the Muslims were outnumbered, and they came to face the Quraysh. And the Sahaba were ready to give their life. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu came to the Battle of Badr, defying death as he charged into the enemy ranks. And he was such a fighter that the mushrikun, they avoided him. Their champion fighters did not want to be challenged by Abu Ubaidah. However, there was one person. He said that he was willing to challenge. He was willing, this one mushrik was willing to challenge Abu Ubaidah. And he was not undaunted, unfazed by the boldness of Abu Ubaidah. However, Abu Ubaidah avoided him. Abu Ubaidah did not want to challenge him. So he continued to run away from this assailant. But this one mushrik was intent on killing him and singling him out. Finally, the time came when there was nothing else to do because he was going to attack him. So Abu Ubaidah, he turned around and he took one swipe and he killed him. As if in a nightmare, he raised his sword and he killed him and the enemy was finished. So this type, you know, this moment was the embodiment of all the struggles the Sahaba had faced. You know, they were taken out of their homes, they were beaten, they were tortured. And when the Sahaba had to migrate, they had to cut all ties of comfort, their families, their homes, their world as they knew it. And that stroke of the sword as Abu Ubaidah fell the enemy was like the final tie of kufr between him and kufr. Because that person that he had to slay was his own father. Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse concerning Abu Ubaidah and his father in the Holy Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. Translation is, you will never find a people who truly believe in Allah and the last day loyal to those who defy Allah and his messenger, even if they were their parents, children, siblings, or extended family. For those believers, Allah has instilled faith in the hearts and strengthened them with the spirit from him. He will admit them into gardens under which rivers flow to stay there forever. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. They are the party of Allah. Indeed, Allah's party is bound to succeed. SubhanAllah. The ultimate test that he had to do. And that's one of the tests, perhaps the greatest test that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had to face. But there was constant tests his entire life. Then we go to the Battle of Uhud. And we know the Muslims were succeeding until there was some, you know, change in the tide. And there was a moment when the tides turned and the kuffar, they regrouped and they dared to try to kill the Prophet ﷺ. And they were saying, where is Muhammad? Where is Muhammad? They're trying to go at the weakness of the Muslims during that battle. So then there was only a group of 10 companions that formed a human wall around the Prophet ﷺ. And you can imagine, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah was one of them. He was one of them that was resolved to defend the Prophet ﷺ to his last breath. After the battle subsided, the Muslims, they were able to ward off the enemies. Then we looked at what casualties and what difficulties the Muslim faced. But look at our beloved Prophet ﷺ, that his tooth had been broken. The Prophet ﷺ's tooth had been broken. His head was gashed. And the rings from his chainmail, two of them were stuck in his cheek. Two of them were stuck in his cheek. It had been driven deeply into his cheek. At that moment, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he came rushing forward, trying to remove the rings that was on the cheek of the Blessed Prophet ﷺ. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu held him back, swearing that he alone could do it. He alone. So Abu Bakr, let him go, let him be. He said that only I can do this. Because he felt that if anyone used his fingers to pull out the ring, it would damage and hurt the Prophet even more. So he leaned forward. He took the ring with his teeth, and he bit, and he clenched it, and he pulled it out with one quick bite. And he did it, his first tooth fell off doing it. His first tooth fell off. But then there was another one. So then the same thing. He took a quick bite, and pulled it out. As he did it, the other tooth fell off. So to save the Prophet ﷺ, he gave up his two front teeth, subhanAllah, in addition to all the wounds that he had. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about Abu Bidr later on that he was indeed rare, for he was still handsome, even with his teeth missing, subhanAllah. Right, so this is a sacrifice. You know, we think that the battle, mashallah, you become a martyr, and then, you know, everything's done, you go to Jannah straight. Amazing, it is amazing. And many Sahaba had that opportunity, even without, you know, doing much deeds. But what if it wasn't destined for you at that time? Then you have so much different types of challenge that you have to live with, and that's the real sacrifice. So Abu Ubaidah was a faithful, loyal commander as well. Rasulullah ﷺ made him the commander of the expedition known as Ghazwat al-Khabat. And at that time, they had no provisions. Rasulullah ﷺ could give him no provisions except a bag of dates. A bag of dates for the entire army of 300 or so people. A bag of dates. So what did Abu Ubaidah do? Amin al-Ummah, he rationed the dates. One date every day for the person, for the soldier. SubhanAllah, can you imagine? One date. They're going on jihad. They're in the path of Allah, in the desert heat, going on traveling with one date. So what would they do? They wouldn't eat the date all at once. They would have a part of it. And they would suck some of it, and then suck some of the water, and that's how they would go. Eventually, even the dates started to run out, because their length is far, they have to travel many days. So then, they had to find leaves. And they had to do the same thing with leaves. So Khabat is like leaves of a tree. That's why it's known as Ghazwat al-Khabat, Khabat. That they would use the leaves of a tree and suck it and nourish, get nourished. SubhanAllah. Here we need a full course meal to before we get ready to do anything. This was a sacrifice the Sahaba had made. And then we move on. At a critical time in the Ummah, where Hazrat Abu Ubaidah also shined. And his whole life is full of these type of highlights. We go to Saqifa Bani Sa'idah. It's a critical juncture after the Prophet ﷺ had departed. After the Prophet ﷺ had departed, when the companions had gathered to elect and choose a new Khalifa to lead the Muslims. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said to Abu Ubaidah, extend your hand so that I might give you my bay'ah, my oath of allegiance. For I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, every community has its trustworthy member and you are ours. So Umar radiallahu anhu was ready to make him the Khalifa of the Muslims immediately after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. That's how high status he had. Amin is a huge status. So because of that, Hazrat Umar was ready to give him the oath of allegiance. However, Abu Ubaidah, he said, I will not put myself forward ahead of a man whom Rasulullah ﷺ ordered us to lead in prayer, meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and who led us until he ﷺ died. After this, all gave their allegiance to Abu Bakr. So you can see, alongside with Hazrat Umar, Abu Ubaidah played a key role in the election of Abu Bakr as Khalifa, a very key role. Abu Ubaidah was his best advisor in matters of religion and most generous assistant in performing good deeds. This continued when the leadership passed from Abu Bakr to Umar radiallahu anhu. Right, so he was constantly an advisor and a high-ranking Sahabi next to the Khalifa. And we see during the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abu Ubaidah replaced Khalid ibn al-Walid as commander-in-chief of all the forces against the Byzantines, against the Roman Empire in Sham. So much of the conquest of Sham was through to these great generals, and at one time, Abu Ubaidah was the commander-in-chief, leading all the armies against the Byzantines. As a result of his leadership, the Arab tribesmen were united, and victory was secured in Yarmouk and other battles, until the entire Sham was conquered, subhanAllah, with Abu Ubaidah in charge. So we see that Abu Ubaidah was one of the most unselfish devotees to Islam, and especially to the Prophet ﷺ, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was Umar ibn Khattab's one of his most loyal commanders. He obeyed him in all the different affairs, except one time. One time, he refused to obey. One time, Abu Ubaidah radhiyallahu anhu refused to obey Umar. Why would a man like Abu Ubaidah refuse to obey the Khalifa? Interesting. It happened shortly after the conquest of Sham, when Abu Ubaidah was leading the armies from one victory to another. At that time, in 18 Hijri, a plague, pandemic, epidemic, what do you want to call it? The like of which had never been seen started going through the ranks of the soldiers. It claimed the lives of thousands of soldiers, members of their families, and even horses and camels. This ta'un al-amwas, When Umar radiallahu anhu found out about this, he wrote a letter to Abu Ubaidah. He said, "I am in need of your services in a very urgent matter. If this letter reaches you at night, I insist that you set forth to come to me by the morning. And if it reaches you during the day, I insist that you set forth before evening. Such a serious letter, the moment you read it, leave, not wait for the next day. The moment that you hear it, immediately that night or that day." When Abu Ubaidah radhiyallahu anhu had read the letter of Al-Faruq, he said, "I know why Amir al-Mu'mineen is in need of me. He wishes to extend the life of one who is not destined to remain with him." So he wrote back saying, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have guessed why you need me, but I am needed here among the Muslim soldiers, and I do not have any desire to abandon them so that I may save myself from what threatens them. I will allow Allah to decide what is best to be my fate as well as theirs. When you receive this letter of mine, excuse me from obeying your order and allow me to remain here." SubhanAllah. Hazrat Umar was trying to save him because he knew that he was such a great general. How can he lose such a great general? He was trying to bring him back to Medina. When Umar read the reply, he cried. And it was in such a state of grief that those present asked, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, has Abu Ubaidah died?" He replied, "No, but death is close to him." The premonition of Faruq was true, for Abu Ubaidah was stricken by the plague, and he was afflicted by the ta'un. On his deathbed, he gave the following advice, right? This wasiyah that he gave. "I am making my last wasiyah to you. As long as you carry it out, you will be well off. Establish the prayer. Fast the month of Ramadan. Give money and charity. Perform the Hajj and Umrah. Enjoin each other to do good. Give good advice to your leaders. And do not dupe them. Do not deceive them. And do not be distracted by worldly vanity. Even if a man were to live for 1,000 years, he will end as I am here, as you see. Peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah." This is this final advice, which is the basics of deen, right? So they live the foundations of deen. Do your ibadah. Make sure that you care for each other. Make sure that you take care of one another. You enjoin each other for the good. You enjoin it and enjoin each other for patience, right? The basics of our deen. Then he turned to Muadh ibn Jabal, telling him to lead the people in prayer. Finally, he breathed his last, and his pure soul departed from his body. He was 58 years old. 58 years old, subhanAllah. The news of Abu Ubaidah's death saddened the Ummah and Umar ibn al-Khattab, because he had wanted Abu Ubaidah to be the successor, his Khalifa, the Khalifa after him, Right? Initially, he wanted him to be the first Khalifa. When that didn't happen, Umar radiallahu anhu still held this desire that after me, Abu Ubaidah will be the Khalifa of the Muslims. This was the rank of Abu Ubaidah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he led his janazah salah and afterwards addressed the people saying, "You have become orphaned of a man, bereft of a man. I swear by Allah, never of whom I have the like have seen in his generosity of spirit, freedom from spite and hatred, love for the akhirah, and commitment to the well-being of people. Pray for Allah to have mercy on him so that he may have mercy on you." Subhanallah. What a great, amazing sahaba. Every time you take each one is amazing. But Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was the Amin of this Ummah, and he's the one that at his hands we enjoy that conquest of Sham and all of these other great events, subhanallah. We ask Allah Ta'ala that we get this love for Allah and His Messenger and all the companions, and for us to be in their footsteps and follow in their footsteps. Wa akhir da'wana anilhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we have some time for silent dhikr before the dua. So I'll recite something and you can just recite that to yourself silently. If I say salawat, then you can say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل Salawat, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين
صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. الله ولي الذين آمنوا، الله ولي الذين آمنوا، الله ولي الذين آمنوا. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله يا رب العالمين، يا رحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا فاطر السماوات والأرض، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا القوة المتين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. يا الله يا رحمن والله Allah, we ask you for deep iman, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, we read about the Sahaba, Ya Allah, oh Allah, allow their iman and the sacrifices, Allah, to inspire us, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Allow us to have this deep-rooted iman, Ya Rabbil Alameen, in you. Allah, allow us to have this iman till the day we die, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, allow, make the best day, the day that we meet you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, oh Allah. Ya Allah, yet we ask you, Allah, for afiyah, Ya Allah. We are not able to do these types of difficulties that the Sahaba did, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please forgive us and overlook our faults, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, give us strength of iman, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make the test easy, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, Sahaba went through such difficult tests, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And even this Ummah, Ya Allah, people are going through such difficult tests, Ya Allah. Oh, alleviate these tests, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah. Oh Allah, give us strength of iman, Allah. And if we go through these tests, Ya Allah, enable us iman to get stronger, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah. Allah, seek refuge from ever becoming murtad and ever running away from the deen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah. Oh Allah, all the people are suffering all over the world, Ya Rabbil Alameen, yet they're not losing their faith, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we're sitting in luxury, yet we're losing our faith, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, please have mercy on us and guide us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, guide our communities, Ya Allah. Guide our families, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, all those people that are in need, Ya Allah, alleviate their needs, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, those people that are sick, Ya Allah, grant them cure, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, are there any type of financial difficulty, Ya Rabbil Alameen? Oh Allah, alleviate their financial difficulty, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, those people that need to get married, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, find them beautiful spouses, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, all the difficulties that we're facing in this world, Ya Allah, Allah, we make dua to you, Allah, to help alleviate these difficulties, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, without trying and testing our iman, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Allah, allow us to have afiyah and have good health, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, Allah, enable our community to have these type of characteristics, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, enable us to have the characteristic of amana, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, to be an ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen, in the footsteps of the Aminu Ummah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, allow these habits to inculcate in our children as well, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, we ask you, Allah, we're not able to do tarbiyah of our children, Ya Rabbil Alameen, properly, Allah, Allah, but you make the means, Ya Allah, to do tarbiyah of our children, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, we care about them and we love them, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Allah, but we don't know how to do the tarbiyah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, provide a way for us to, for them to be in a good environment, Ya Rabbil Alameen, the environment of the masjid, the madrasa, Ya Allah. Allah, all those people that are out there that are not having this environment, Allah, attach them to these type of environments, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, allow our community to grow, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And the community all over the world, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, allow this country, Ya Allah, to prosper, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and allow Islam to spread, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, allow us to be a mechanism for that spreading, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, allow us a means, Ya Allah, that this country will be Muslim and we are able to be part of that, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, grant us afiyah and good health, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, grant us success in this world and next, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samir alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwab rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala khayra khalqihi muhammadi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Amin. Still not time for ishraq. We still have some time for ishraq, inshallah. 7:22 approximately.